come from the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles. Here's Eddie Garcia.
In postseason baseball, Game 6 of the National League Championship Series saw the Dodgers defeat the Mets 10-5. LA's Tommy Edman had a home run, drove in four. Will Smith had a homer and two RBI as LA wins that series 4-2 to advance to the World Series. They'll face the New York Yankees starting on Friday. Checking games to note from Sunday's action, Week 7 in the NFL, the Chiefs down the 49ers on the road 28-18. Kansas City at 6-0 is the only remaining undefeated team in the NFL because the Vikings lost their first game, falling at home to the Lions 31-29. Both teams are 5-1 on the season. Packers edge the Texans 24-22 on a late field goal. Both teams are 5-2. Sunday night, it was the Steelers over the Jets 37-15. Pittsburgh's at 5-2. Titans fall to the Bills in Buffalo 34-10. Buffalo 5-2 on the season. And the Commanders crush the Panthers 40-7. Washington's 5-2 on the year.
Alabama, 1st and 10 on the 12. Again, Houston. He's got a hole. He's over. Alabama touchdown.
Now, I'm just wondering if your listeners know how good a football player you were. I can still see you playing that fullback, knocking those players out of the way. And I believe I could have run behind you.
Martin, I can remember when we came to center and you were playing fullback up there. And I saw you in the weight room. And watch the workout in the weight room. At least you pick up, you were strong enough to pick up the whole weight room. I wanted to pick it, and I run it back to the biggest mistake we ever made.
The Martin Houston Show with national championship winning fullback Martin Houston, giving you 1 hour of intense, hard hitting analysis from an insider's perspective. It's time for the Martin Houston Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning. Welcome into the Martin Houston Show with Martin A. Xavier, powered by Boss Eye Care. It is a manic Monday. Kennington Smith joins us to talk Bama versus Tennessee. The good, the bad, the ugly. Georgia is back on top. And can Bama right the ship and more?
Oh, and yes, we'll open up the phone lines for you on the Empowerment Strategies and Solutions Hotline, 205-342-9904. That's the Empowerment Strategies and Solutions Hotline. Empowerment Strategies and Solutions, we speak, we train, we coach. We want to invite you to partner with our organization. We have several things we can offer there, including Martin Houston Speaks. We empower leaders. Love the opportunity to talk to you and your organization. We'll tell you more about that as the program moves along. But with that said, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all join me with that. We'll take some time today to notice someone, love someone, serve someone, be the difference you want to see in the world today. X laid it out. You may have something you want to talk about, so we'll open up the phone lines and get your calls lined up. So sure, it's going to be a fun time trying to get in. Also, if you're on Facebook Live, YouTube, X, et cetera, follow Facebook.com, The Martin Houston Show, and you can add your thoughts and comments. And we'll work those into the conversation, X.
Well, we're still waiting to see Alabama play a complete game in SEC play. This is the first time I can really say, man, defense played great, you know,
for a half. I mean, I want everybody to understand, you shut a team out in the first half and gave up 24 in the second. Now, if you had told me Tennessee's going to get 24, I would have told you we'd win the game.
Right.
With that said,
thoughts on the game?
For the first time, I have got to a point where What I'm saying is I still believe Jalen Milroe can be and is a good quarterback if he's in the right system. The craziest thing for me is last year we fought all year for this coaching staff to utilize his skill set, and it took it till LSU for them to do that. And then they went right back to what they've doing. I'm not sure we realize how much we miss Grubb potentially being at what you call his hip at Sheridan.
Yeah.
Liked him, liked what he did, but he's young and I just don't get the utilization. What would you say? Would you say Saturday was Jalen's worst game with accuracy?
Yes.
In his career?
He was off. Yes.
Okay, how does he throw it 45 times in that game? We were never trailing till late. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when we played Clemson, when Jalen Hurts as a freshman threw the ball 30-something times when we had the lead.
Right.
This coaching staff, and I've said this, and I'm going ahead and jumping out there. If you're going to call this style offense and not utilize Jalen's skill set, Ty is probably the better option. Ty is a better pure passer, drop back passer than Jalen. We threw the ball 27 times in the first half, X. Let that sink in. How many times has Jalen thrown the ball 27 times in a game?
Probably 4 or 5 times.
Maybe. 45 passes when your defense was playing great and you were getting turnovers and you were in the lead. We still were playing. I mean, we threw that game. Since the Georgia game of the first half, we have listened to the fans. I think this coaching staff is young. I think they're energetic. I think they're engaged. But I also think they must listen to social media. Because what we've done since the Georgia game is try to use our offense to get time of possession. Everybody has been crying for time of possession. We got it Saturday. And we got the running game Saturday. But we didn't have our offense Saturday. So if you're going to run that style offense, it may be time to make a change. That's my takeaway. I also think Jalen may be hurt, but I've said that for 2 weeks. I said he got hurt against South Carolina the play before he threw the interception because he can't drive the ball. The ball is floating on him every pass X.
Yeah, and there's a couple clips of Jalen from before the game Saturday when they were warming up that I saw that I sent you yesterday. He is noticeably limping, like noticeably, just walking. And don't know what it is, don't know if he should be on the injury report, what it is, but it's noticeable. So I think there's something that we don't know about, and I think that it's affecting his game because there are a couple times I was watching the game and I was like, he should just take off. And after seeing that,
but he
makes me question things.
He didn't even take off X when he had opportunities. And when he did run the ball, he didn't look as explosive. And that's my point. If he's injured or if we're going to throw 45 passes, Ty is a better option. I don't know that Ty's a better quarterback, but he's a better option if he's injured and if you're not going to do that. Let's try to get these callers in. But before we do that, I want to address something. Raylo1001Z said, lots of things bother me about the football program, but most of it I can deal with. But regardless of the reason, that fake injury flop is still bothering me. It shouldn't bother you, Rallo. It was poor officiating. The officials... Alabama was out of position because they were trying to substitute the official was supposed to be. That's why I hate this hurry up offense or whatever, because they're supposed to give defense. Once the offense brings their substitution or their unit onto the field, whether it's the beginning of a possession or during a possession X, if they put new personnel on the field, beginning of a possession or during a possession, the defense has an opportunity to substitute. The official was supposed to be standing over the ball, and Alabama was trying to get their players off the field and on the field, and they didn't give them time. And so I don't like to flop either, but they used it that time because the officials didn't do their job. And this officiating is absolutely atrocious, in worse than other games than even Alabama's. But let's get to Pat. Pat, you're in, with Martin and Xavier. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Martin. I hate to say I was right. But I mean, I felt it real bad, going into that game. I'm sorry, but now I've got mixed emotions. Go ahead.
But if you had been right, you said Tennessee was going to get 35. They got 24. You said we get 28. If we get 28, we win, Pat.
Yeah, we would have.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, who would have thought that?
I'm talking about the Tennessee loss.
But, that's what I'm talking about, Pat. Your score was 28-35.
Yeah.
And we didn't get 20.
Well, that was the issue. That was why we lost. I was pulling so hard for us, Martin, and I wanted to be wrong so bad that, I got mixed emotions. I really think that we can right this ship, but I don't know exactly how we right this ship. That the defense played well enough to win that ball game yesterday. Saturday. Yep. We had flashes of brilliance, but I'm almost at the point of, hey, let's build for the future.
I can't let you say that because we've never done it before.
Jalen Milroe still has a year of eligibility.
Exactly. Two years ago, Bryce Young lost the second football game. And nobody said bench Bryce and get Jalen experience or get Ty experience. We were done when we lost to LSU 2 years ago. And it was later in the season, and it was only a 14 playoff. And nobody said bench Bryce, get the other guy's experience. We don't need to do that with Jalen.
Yeah, we do. Pat, let me finish. Pat, listen.
What would you say if your son was playing? Did your son ever mess up when he was playing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, did you feel like they should have benched him because they were going to be playing games next year? You just said that they should bench Jalen, not because Ty is better.
I didn't say bench Jalen. I said we got to get Ty ready to go.
Here's what I said yesterday, Pat. This is what I said yesterday. I said if Jalen is hurt or if Ty is, if we're going to run 45 dropback passes, Ty appears to be a better option. I don't know that. But undoubtedly, the coaching staff does. Why would you not play Ty when Jalen played as bad as he did?
All I know is that with what we got, we lost. Man, something's got to change. We cannot go into LSU like this. We go into LSU like this, we're going to get our brains beat out. That's all I'm going to tell y'all. Will y'all believe me or not?
It's not that we don't believe you, Pat.
Why is Ty not playing?
His loyalty is the same as Coach Saban.
He had zero loyalty, Pat.
Huh?
When he came here, he didn't have any loyalty.
Yeah, well, I don't, I, I, I don't, I don't know. Jalen is a good quarterback when he's doing his thing. But right now, he ain't doing his thing.
So would that not be the focus? When was the last time you saw them use Jalen's skill set as Jalen Miro, what he does best?
Well, the first part of the Georgia game.
So why is it Jalen? If Jalen has obviously, and I got to let you go, Pat, Jalen has obviously regressed the last three games.
No doubt.
But I would say the play calling changed after the Georgia game. Folks started calling this show. Folks started calling other shows and saying, man, we need to develop a running game. So that's what we tried to do against Vanderbilt, and we got beat. After the Vanderbilt game, people said, we need to start getting time of possession to help our defense. So that's what we've done. Okay? And so that's the thing. And Jared Smith says Milroe isn't the runner he was in the Georgia game. He's scared of contact. I wouldn't say he's scared of contact. I think he's injured. That's what it looks like. Because even when he's in open field, he's not as explosive. We'll be back on the other side to get Robert in. We'll add Kendon Smith to the conversation.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. That's Pat. Pat telling us like it is. He called the Georgia game, and I agree with him. If nothing changes, you have to make a change at quarterback. But that change doesn't need to be just because you're getting ready for next year. The change needs to be because you think Todd Simpson gives you a better chance to win. And if you're going to call 45 passes of a drop back quarterback and not use Jalen Legs, you should give Todd a chance. We'll talk with Kennington on the other side. We'll get Robert in. We'll get you in as well.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, a very good Monday morning to you. Looks like we've got some activity. We definitely have some activity on Joe Malisham Parkway in both the north and southbound lanes at 43. Do watch out for, a slowness there. It looks like it could possibly be a fender bender. Otherwise, traffic on the rest of the freeways and side streets not doing so badly.
Did you say I just said that?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
Did you say you're cutting me off?
You earn, we match. Unlimited cashback match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, I'm Martin Houston, and I want to tell you about exciting news happening at Box Eye Care. They've moved to their new location, bringing you a brand new lab, stylish new frames, and a fresh look just for you. Enjoy their expanded frame inventory, competitive prices, and faster service, all with the same great level of service you've come to know and trust. Discover this full-service eye care at Box Eye Care's new location. With their in-house lab, they offer unbeatable value and one of the largest frame collections in town. Schedule your eye exam today and walk out with new glasses in less than an hour in most cases. Visit BoxEyeCare.com. That's BoxEyeCare.com or call 205-342-0660. That's 205-342-0660. Visit them at 5003 Oscar Baxter Drive. That's Box Eye Care. Your vision, our priority.
Welcome back to the Martin Houston Show. The sound of Bama sports. Your show, your team, on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back in to the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier. We'll be adding Kennington Smith III to the conversation. You can also get in on the conversation as well on the Empowerment Strategy and Solutions Hotline at 205-342-9904. All right. Jared Smith said something that I said and shared with probably about 20 people on yesterday. Guys, everybody keeps blaming this on DeBoer. It's not the freshmen and the new transfers just getting all of the penalties and playing undisciplined. It's Saban's guys.
Yep.
I mean, if you list out what problem or attitude or undisciplined play have you seen from Saab, from Xavier Brown, from Mbakwe, from Ryan Williams, from Braysfield, from Cuevas. You see what I'm saying? I mean, like, okay, where's the issues coming from? So maybe this discipline thing, and Coach Saban himself even said that these aren't his players. Recognizing how hard, I think we're having a culture clash, X. Kennington. I think we're having a culture clash. I think we thought that there was complete buy-in to the board's way of doing things X until we lost to Vandy. And from there, I think there's been a culture clash. And this is what I ask you, Kennington. Saban was 7-6 his first year, 7-5 in the regular, 6-6 in the regular season. SEC was worse back then, it's better now. He also took over a 6-7 team. And so he took over a team that was losing and hungry to win. And he still struggled with introducing a new culture. How hard has it been potentially? And I underestimated. I'm speaking up. I thought there was complete buy-in. I'm not sure there is. And I think that we may have a culture clash going on the campus. What's your thoughts, King?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I was thinking about today's show, I think to me being there, what I felt and witnessed after the game was more telling than what I saw during the game. And when you're talking about a culture clash and belief, I think my biggest takeaway was being in that post-game media room, just being a part of the vibe, listening to the players, just kind of feeling the atmosphere. It felt like there was doubt for the first time. It felt like there wasn't that same level of belief and confidence when you hear the players' voices, when you listen to the answers. And I thought DeBoer, really for the first time, said some pretty revealing things.
Yes.
And he said it very matter-of-factly after the game that I found jarring. I mean, several quotes. We can't play team football. We can't get over the hump. We can't put things together. Not the same optimism that we've heard in previous weeks. He says the team is lacking killer instinct. When have you ever heard that about Alabama before? You know, he said some other things. And when you said, you know, our players buying in, Jeremy Bernard was asked straight up, obviously one of DeBoer's guys, do the players believe? And he said they believed. There was a little bit of hesitation before he answered. It just kind of felt like some of the hard truths started to leak out a bit after the game. And that to me was more telling than what we saw on the field, because really what we saw on the field has just been a continuation of what we've seen over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Hey,
go ahead and get Robert since he's been waiting. At.
Okay. Hey, Robert, you're in with Kenny Smith on the Martin Houston Show on the Empowerment Strategy Solution Hotline. How you doing this morning?
Hey guys, you know, I bet George is looking back now and they're saying, how did we lose to these guys? It's, you know, and it's beginning to say, it's beginning to be a good question. Okay, well, how did we beat
George? Is it a good question, Robert? Is it a good question, or did the coaching staff do what this team does best? Not what they want to do. Let me ask you this, because I say the same thing. I say Georgia's kicking themselves. But the reality of it is that wasn't a fluke in the first half against Georgia. Our defense blitzed, which Womack doesn't like to do. But we blitzed. We confused them. So that may be what we do best. We did the same thing Saturday. And we played a good defense. So once again, did we do bad? Have we done that the other games? No. But the two times we held Tennessee to 24, shut them out in the first half. Shut Georgia down to 7 in the first half. Okay. Offensively, we came out and we ran the entire offense through a dual threat quarterback, read option, read action, moving the ball, getting to the edges. We haven't done that since then. So is it that the players can't play, or is the coaches trying to do what they do versus what these players can do?
Well, unless they got stupid, the coaches. After the Georgia game, you saw what worked, and for some stupid reason, you decided to not do it anymore because, well, somebody criticized you.
Okay.
The other option is you probably, like you said, maybe Melrose hurt.
But does it make sense to call 27 passes?
Well, if he's hurt, I guess you got no choice if he can't run like
that. Run the ball!
You're talking about the run.
We think of ran the ball without throwing it 27 times. He was obviously.
Well, I think, Well, I think that, you know, they're shutting down the run, because that's what I would do. If, you know, right now, the reason Alabama is, you shut down that run and you force Miro to throw. And I think that's what their option, their thing is coming in, these teams coming in. Okay, well, we're just not going to let you run. Now, I agree. We should still be able to impose our will on Vanderbilt, whether they want to shut us down or not running. That's a problem in and of itself.
Let me ask Kennington. He does a little better job. You can jump in here, too. Kennington, did Tennessee shut down the run against Alabama in the first half, or did we default to throwing the ball?
There was not a commitment to running the ball in the first half. Now, can Alabama run the ball holistically? I think that is a fair question. But Jim Miller carried on the first play of the game, and a running back did not carry again for almost an hour real time. I don't think there was another running back carry until 3-4 minutes left in the first quarter. They did go away from it. And to your point, Martin, the lack of awareness around when to run the ball is kind of, it has to be infuriating if you're a fan, because again, if Milrow is injured, why is he being put in a position where he can take hits unnecessarily against a team where you know their defensive front is the strength of the defense, if not the strength of the team? The third and ten before halftime, before Graham Nicholson missed that field goal, was inexplicable. It's 3rd and 10, 45 seconds left. You have 2 timeouts. You have the lead at 7-0. Why not just run the ball, get some positive yards, and set up a Nicholson kick? The pass game was not working. Milrow was getting hit a ton. And it just felt like, again, a situation where you just have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. But again, they go drop back. Miro takes a hit again. You could see he felt it afterwards. Nicholson misses wide right and short on a 54-yard attempt. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, again, I think the whole Alabama doesn't want to run the football versus they can't run the football, I feel like, is a legitimate conversation. They only averaged 2.5 yards per carry, sack adjusted, by the game's end. But there wasn't an urgency to get it established in the first half at all.
But Kennington, Robert, I'm going to give it to you, Robert. Robert, the beginning of the second half, what did we do?
Ran the ball.
And then what did we do when we got to a yard? We needed a yard and a half. Our defense was playing great. And what did we do? We planted the ball. I'm like, we have been running it down their throat. Keep running it. Your defense is playing great right now. You're winning. And we punted. I mean, it's just the some of the inconsistency, Robert. I'll let you have it, man.
Oh, I agree with you that there's not enough commitment, especially on the first interception that Miro threw. It's like you're on the 4-yard line. It's first and goal on the 4-yard line. I'm not only running it 3 straight times, I'm running it 4 straight times. You're gonna stop my team 4 times in a row for 4 yards. So I totally agree with you on that. Real quick before I go, if you're right and Miro's hurt, and we're not starting Ty Simpson. It's like, okay, what does that say about what they'll think about Ty Simpson then? If Miro's hurt and you're still not starting him, then that may be a read on what they think about Ty Simpson. I hope he's not hurt. For number one, I don't want him hurt. And secondly, if he's hurt and you're still not starting, Ty, about the guy?
Hey, so I'm going to let you take it to break, but I have to read this. Let me see. Oh man, I have to find it. Okay, here's what Chris DeBoer said. Now read into this. Don't lose belief in these guys, because there are a lot of guys making some big sacrifices in ways that you'll never know. People will never know because they just keep plugging away. It might be physical things and stuff like that. But they're working hard, and they have a lot of pride in who they are individually and who we are as Alabama. Does that sound like a coach just not calling out somebody that may be injured? Physical things, stuff like that, sacrifices. Well, you don't see any sacrifices anywhere else on this team. I mean,
But again, if he's hurt and they're not starting to try Simpson, and I guess they see something in practice, and they still don't think he's the best fit. But I guess we'll find out later. All right, guys.
Thank you. Whew. Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I have a question regarding. Well, go ahead, Ed, before I ask my question.
Yeah, no, it's so many things going on, and I think we're going to have to actually see this week, and I think this week will be telling to where this season goes. But go ahead, Kennedy, and then we'll get to break.
You two I feel like are more well-versed on this than I am. Obviously, you've been in Alabama longer, but it's been 3 years and two different coaching staff between Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe being on campus at the same time. And at every turn, Jalen Milroe has been ahead of Ty Simpson. So am I missing something here about why there is such a push for Ty Simpson to be the starting quarterback?
Let me think on that. I'm gonna have to give you a politically correct answer on the other side.
I was about to say, I don't know if I just said the quiet part out loud, but again, just logically, rationally thinking about it, 3 years, two coaching staffs, both staffs have arrived at the same conclusion.
Three coordinators.
Where is the disconnect? Help me out as somebody who has not been around longer than, you know, as long as others, because it's not computing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back on the other side. Great question.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, a very good Monday morning to you. Looks like we've got some activity. We definitely have some activity on Joe Malisham Parkway in both the north and southbound lanes at 43. Do watch out for, a slowness there. It looks like it could possibly be a fender bender. Otherwise, traffic on the rest of the freeways and side streets not doing so badly.
North and Northport, just before Carroll's Creek Baptist Church. Sponsored by Cypress Supply, Military Surplus R Us, Junction Grocery, and Northwest Supply.
Dixie Battery Supply takes care of all of your battery needs. Find the commercial batteries you're after and never feel powerless again. Come check out our Northport and Tuscaloosa locations or call us at 205-758-9190. And once again, power up all your devices by using Dixie Battery Supply, DixieBatterySupply.com.
Repair and the future repairs. No overtime charges on weekends and holidays. No hassle guarantee. Adams Heating and Cooling, 205-872-0045.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues this week. A sunny sky today, the high 81. Clear tonight with the low at 49. And for tomorrow and Wednesday, lots of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 80 and 83. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Martin Houston Show with the same hard-hitting, no-nonsense approach in which he played the game. Martin will take you inside the locker room, down on the field, and across the goal line with his in-depth analysis.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back into the Martin Houston Show with Martin and his Every Power by Box Eye Care. We got Kenneth Smith III on with us. Want to remind you, Martin Houston Real Estate, partner with Realty One Group Legend. We are the home. I am the home. Martin Houston Real Estate is the home of the $2,500 move bonus. So if you're moving, selling your home or you need $2,500 to help you with the move, you get that if, I'm your buying agent. Or if you are buying, selling your house and you need to list it, then you can get 1% off of the commission. In Tuscaloosa, that's an average of about $2,750. Average house in Tuscaloosa, $275. So either way, Martin Houston Real Estate, martinhoustonrealestate@gmail.com, or text me 205-826-1381 and we'll follow up. Visit my website and we'll be glad to take care of you. All right, Kennington, ask a question, reset it for the audience. There's been two coaching staff, 3 years, three coordinators, and Jalen has been the guy. How is that? How is that? But everybody always calls for Ty. Ty got a chance last year against South Florida. The historically bad performance that Jalen had was only matched by the South Florida performance last year, since early Nick Saban time frame. So here's the thing. Here's my thoughts. I think some people is preference, Kennington. I think some people just want to see Mac Jones at quarterback. And what I mean by Mac Jones is stylistically. They want to see Alabama drop back. They want to see Alabama hand the ball off. They want to see Alabama run the ball. That's what you hear fans calling for. They want to see that style. Okay. So you believe that's what you're getting, Ty. So that, I think, calls for some of it. Other part is the backup quarterback's always the most popular player on the field. You always assume that they're better, unlike the coaches. You know, a lot of times, even what you saw with Texas, you saw that it had nothing to do with Ewers. It had to do everything with Georgia when Manning got in. And number three is, for some people, it's a race thing. And I hate to say that, and I don't like to bring that up. But when you dog Milroe for what he did after being benched last year and say he was horrible last year and he's horrible this year, and then you're just not being realistically. And it's probably something deeper inside of you that you have a problem with that and potentially could be raised. This is the first week that I think the conversation though is legit. Okay. I don't think Milroe should have been benched last year. I don't think Milroe should have been benched at any time this year, but I do think after Saturday's performance, something has to be addressed. If Milroe's not injured and you're going to call the game the way you have since the first half of the Georgia game, then you need to look at another quarterback. You need to give somebody else a chance because the Vanderbilt game, I think Milroe played well enough to win, but he wasn't Milroe of Georgia. South Carolina, it got worse, and Saturday was as bad as I've ever seen him play. So something is going on. So the coaching staff has to address that either with benching him, changing the play calling, or doing something. But this is the first time that this conversation to me is legit and has to happen.
Yeah, that's all fair. And I would like to add, in addition to the question, that this is four straight games with at least one turnover from Milroe. Back-to-back games with multiple turnovers. He is at the center of the team's problems right now in regards to the slump that the team is in. So I want to throw that out there as I'm not absolving him at all. I think multiple things can be true at once. I was just posting that question. I understand the racial undertones are there. I wasn't trying to take it there specifically with that question, but I was just posing the thought. As for Milroe, obviously, he is carrying a lot of this blame as well. And, it is a worthy talking point.
Kennington, let me ask you this, and X, I'll let you respond and then Kennington. But here's the question. A guy goes from 271 rushing yards. And then since the second half of the Georgia game, he has 57 total. How can the most electric player in college football have 57 total? Everybody act like Milroe's been running the ball. He has 57 yards in the last three games. Because we wanted to go away from running it. Or he's injured. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, well, I would probably lean more so to injury because Milroe's runs have been the money part of the offense. Obviously, the deep throws have been there. But when they run the ball with Milroe, especially to the perimeter of the defense, it's been money almost every single time. And watching the Tennessee game, it felt a lot like Texas A&M last year and somewhat of the Tennessee game last year where there were lanes for Milroe to run. And early in the season, he would have exploited those opportunities, but he didn't do it in the Tennessee game. And it does make you wonder what's going on. And when he's not getting positive yards on the ground, you see him missing open receivers. You see him holding the ball too long again. You can kind of see the confidence starting to wane as time goes on. So there is definitely something there, I think, deeper than what the eye can see. And I think it sets up for what I think is going to be a really interesting Monday presser today.
X, you there?
I think it has a little bit to do with injury as well, because they're not trying to push the ball down the field, really, the last couple of weeks. We saw the one deep pass that he barely missed Ryan on against South Carolina. That I don't remember him setting up and letting it go deep at all Saturday. But what I just have one issue that we're talking about, the quarterback situation and things of that nature. I have a huge problem, and I found several of these people through social media. I went back and looked through their posts. It's easy, especially on Twitter. You type in their name, you type in Milrow, and they said nothing the first four games of the season. They had nothing to say about Milrow. It was everybody else. And all of a sudden, he has a couple bad weeks. And boom, Miro's terrible. Miro's this. Miro, blah, blah, blah. You were quiet when he was when he was phenomenal. But now that he's had a few bad weeks, and justifiably so Saturday, he was bad. Now you have everything to say. And that, I have a huge problem with those Alabama fans, because to me, it's cowardice. You never liked him, and you kept your mouth shut when he was doing great. But now you have a lot to say.
Yeah, and here's a question I asked Kennington and X. I saw him get his ankle twisted a few games back, and I saw him land on his shoulder a few games back. And the most obvious one, do you remember, and most people don't watch football or don't catch this, he fell on his shoulder, and he grimaced, and he laid there for a second, and they got him up. He came back the next play. Yeah, South Carolina. The next play, he floated that ball to
Bernard.
To Bernard. He floated it. Your shoulder, and most people don't realize this, your shoulder and your ankle will cause you to do what, Kennington, when you're a quarterback? It'll cause you, when you can't plant, you can't drive. Or if you can't push off, you can't drive the ball. And if your shoulder's hurt or your ankle's hurt and you're coming down, you'll float the ball. Or you don't get enough power and you leave it short, right? I mean, you go back and look. Kennington, I mean, he's missed passes. But going into that game, he was completing 73% of his passes, right?
Right.
I mean, so that was one. I think he was second in the SEC in completion percentage going into that game. But Saturday, watching that game, how those coaches kept calling those pass plays, I don't get it, Kennington. He was obviously off from the beginning, and he was only going to throw it to one guy. That part I'm going to put on either him or nobody was getting open. I wasn't there, so it's hard to say nobody else was getting open. But to target Ryan Williams 19 times, I don't know if you heard the booth. If you were there, you didn't. The booth said the following. Ooh, I think Alabama's out of superstars at wide receiver. And they don't have guys that can get open. Undoubtedly, the 17-year-old is the only one that can get open. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, Ken.
Yeah. I think when you're talking about the shoulder and the ankle, one play that sticks out to me was the third down deep in their own territory. Milrow avoids the safety, and he rolls out.
He could have ran.
The earlier season,
Milrow, the
acceleration and aggressiveness of early season Milrow, he turns that corner and turns right upfield. He settles for a deep throw. Again, to your point, fell way short. On that deep shot, and that to me was the play that stuck out. You mentioned the 18 targets to Ryan Williams and guys not being able to get open. There might be something to that, but somebody who I think deserves some credit for Saturday is somebody who I think deserves a much bigger workload in comparison to targets is Jeremy Bernard. He's been extremely reliable. Six targets, five catches, 78, 3 yards, almost as many yards as Ryan Williams. So he's somebody who I feel like is reliable, somebody who is consistently getting open. But past those two, it's been a struggle. There's no question about it.
All right. Hey, we'll be back on the other side to put your finishing touches on this edition of the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier, powered by Boxcar.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, moving with a purpose on the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. The construction zones may slow you down from time to time, but not a whole lot. We've got that on McFarland, east and westbound between Jack Warner and Lurleen Wallace. Also, 2059 eastbound between Joe Malisham and McFarland Boulevard. You will tap on those brakes slightly.
Disease research and care for over 50 years. Learn more about research, education, and support at Crohn's Colitis Foundation.org.
Taco Casa, quality, taste, and value under the biggest cactus in town. They've been doing it the right way each and every day for 50 years and counting. If you're looking for a great option for lunch and or dinner, then you need to check out Taco Casa. Taco Casa, and while you're there, don't forget to get a big glass of that sweet tea.
Lowe's knows pros. Valid in-store only. More terms and restrictions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms or pro desk for details.
Got timberland in West Alabama or East Mississippi? North River Timber Company has you covered. Since 2011, Courtney White, a registered forester, along with his expert team, have been managing timberland and harvesting timber across four West Alabama counties. They offer comprehensive timber management plans, reforestation services, and appraisals. Courtney White says timber is like money in the bank. Don't let your investment go
or enjoy free shipping to your home on purchases over $25. Your new Academy Sports and Outdoor store is located at 4610 U.S. Highway 280 in Birmingham.
Visit the Pharmacy at Midtown. That's the pharmacyatmidtown.com. TJ and his team are looking for the opportunity to provide you with great services, including compounding, home delivery, and a whole lot more. You're looking for a great pharmacy that'll take care of all of your needs, including wellness classes, including health, and more. That's the Pharmacy at Midtown. Call them at 205-579-9933. You're looking for a great pharmacy. You need to try the Pharmacy at Midtown. That's the Pharmacy at Midtown, pharmacyatmidtown.com.
The sound of Bama sports. Your show. Your team. The Martin Houston Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier. We have Kington Smith, the third of the Athletic, with us. And as we're coming back, just wanted to address one thing. Colton Ware says, I'm a business owner, and when you continually fail to get your task done, then I lose customers. I have to make a change, and if I got a guy that's been steady, better believe he's getting a shot to see what can happen. Miro is starting to lose the locker room by only passing to Ryan Williams. And some receivers took to social media about it. Yes, but as you stated, do they believe in Ty? Do they believe in Dylan? Do they believe in Austin Matt? We don't know because we haven't seen a change or anything. But as far as the wide receiver, the only wide receiver I've seen that said anything on social media was Caleb Odom. And Caleb Odom is a freshman. He's the fifth string wide receiver. So, him getting frustrated, I get to a certain extent, but he's not a high on the hog type player in this offense right now. But we have Robert from Birmingham. How are you doing this morning, Robert?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Thanks good. For taking my call. Very good.
Hey, for the young guys, this won't really matter much, but for the older guy, what's Martin, we sat together in the stands and watched some of this summer stuff before, but no one player at Alabama is bigger than the brand or the script A, okay? And obviously, from what Coach said in that press conference on Saturday night, I listened to it three different times. Milroe is hurt, okay? He's hurt. And he probably got shot up to play the game Saturday night. And he might have gotten shot up against South Carolina. We don't know that, but we're assuming that. I'm going to assume it. So if he's that hurt, okay, if he's that hurt, he's trying to prove it. It's admirable, and I love it. It's gutty. It's a great trait to have and try to go out there and play. But when you can't do it, get him to the bench and put somebody else in. It costs us the game on Saturday. And you're right. We don't know if Ty's off. We saw Ty in spring training, right? We saw him in the summer, and he looked okay, all right? Just a serviceable person wins that game on Saturday. Milroe, there's something wrong with him either physically, mentally, we don't know what it is. We're assuming he's hurt. or if he's hurt, take him out at halftime and put somebody else in, and we win the game. It cost us a game on Saturday. Our goal is to what? Our goal is to make a playoff, but, is to win.
It's easy to say, oh, we put Ty in and we win. We don't know.
We don't. We damn sure give a chance. We damn sure give it a chance. And then number two is when Coach got there in March, he said Milrow is the quarterback before he even went to spring training. Most coaches, when they get a brand new job, what do? Y'all all played football. They come in, they say, it's wide open, we're going to see what happens. He had to do that to keep the team and keep everybody from hitting the portal. And I didn't like it then. It's not a race thing. I like competition. The world I live in for my job is competition. When you have competition, you get the strongest thing. But for him to keep the team, keep everybody from hitting the portal, he had to say, Milrow's my guy. And he said it within the first 30 days. He was asked by the media. So that's my rub, is I want competition. I want the best person to play. And then
I agree with everything you're saying. I think you, if he's injured, you have to give the guy, you have to do something. You can't
something.
Just running this guy here and throwing him 45 times if he's injured. What's the chances of what his weakness getting better when he's injured? None. The other part, though, I will say this, just because he named a starter, I don't think I think they still had a competition this spring. I still think, so naming a starter doesn't do it. I'm just trying to figure out, is he worried about losing the team and all that stuff if he benches?
Well, there's
no sense at this point.
There's obviously a discipline issues, man. It's obvious. There's obvious discipline issues going on down there. Major. I mean, everything I'm here, but here's another step that, and I'm a football.
About 20 seconds, Robert.
I listen to every show. I do all the podcast. I listen to everything. The thing that drives people nuts about Milrow, on the mesh points on the zone reads, he doesn't do those great. Sometimes on ball position on throwing, he doesn't throw that great. When it's time to run. And then there's nobody there, take off and run. He didn't do it last year. Running past the line of scrimmage, his football acumen sometimes is not where you want to be for the starting quarterback for Alabama. It's gotten better, but then it's just totally digressed the last 2 weeks. And I think it's because, he could have taken off running on Saturday, and he never did it. He never did it on pass plays. If it's not there and you have an opening, go, man, go. And he's never.
But now, thanks, Robert. I appreciate it. Hey, call back when we can give you a little bit more time, sir. Pennington, tell them where they can find you, what you got coming up this week, man.
On Twitter/X at SkinnyKenny_ TheAthletic.com, TheAthletic on your mobile app, searching my name, Pennington Smith III, or anything related to Alabama football, wall-to-wall coverage about the team leading us this week, and we're going to do some basketball as well, so come see what we got going on.
All right. Hey, basketball did win against Wake Forest. Roll Tide, go Bama Hoops. Hey, close it out.
Hey, this is the Martin Hughes Show, Martin and Xavier. We had Kenny Smith III on. It has been a great show. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow with DC of DC Capstone Report.
All right. Trust in the Lord always. Lean not your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Hey, guys, this guy may be getting cloudy, but I don't think it's falling. I think he has a culture issue going on. I think there's a transition time. The team may end up 10-2. We'll see. We'll talk about it right here on the Martin Houston Show. Go Tide, everybody.